What's going on there, youth pastors? Paul Turner here from the DiscipleProject.net and your host of the Youth Ministry in Motion podcast, the podcast that wants to keep you motivated and your youth ministry moving forward. How are you today? Me? It's Saturday morning. I'm getting up early. I'm taking students to Atlanta. I'm going to go hang out, go check out the Varsity Grill, and then head over to the world of Coca-Cola, see what's going on over there. Let me ask you a question. Do you like Godzilla? Godzilla's gotten awfully popular in these last few years, and today's episode has a little bit to do with that as it pertains to youth ministry, and it deals with a three-headed monster called Ghidorah, which sounds an awful lot like a committee, and Rodan, a flying monster, which can sound a little bit like your pastor if they're like a monster and they like to micromanage you from looking over your shoulder high up in the air. And guess what? You get to be Godzilla and you get to deal with them all the time. And I had a great question come in about who do I answer to? Do I answer to my pastor? Do I answer to the committee? Or am I answering to both? Today, I want to help you navigate these monsters, and I put that in quotations, these monsters that you're having to battle, and how you can come out on the winning end of things. Before I jump into the episode, though, if you're brand new here to the podcast, thank you so much for being here. I appreciate you stopping by and trying it out. And if you're a regular, as always, I appreciate your time and your attention. And if you are looking for a way to support this podcast, I'm going to put some links down in the show notes to my store, to my coaching services, to all the things I've created to help you build a successful youth ministry. And if you find something you like there in the store, we'll go ahead and pick it up. That helps support this podcast and keeps me motivated to keep going and to equipping you to do the things God's called you to do. All right, this question came in about how to deal with pastors and committees, came in via my YouTube channel, and I'm sharing the audio with you from that episode because I don't think I can say it any better the second time around. So here is the episode that I'm entitling Youth Pastor Boss Battles. British and Greek automotive designer Alec Isagoras, who designed the Mini automobile, once said that a camel is a horse designed by committee. He's not lying. Today, I want to answer a question from one of our subscribers. Their name is blocked out, well, because this is the internet. They ask, can you talk about the issue of serving two masters? I'm especially thinking of churches where the bylaws say that you report to the lead pastor or the elders or deacons, but the church also has a youth committee that views their purpose as supervising you. How do you actually get things done and implement a vision for reaching and discipling youth and not let everything get bogged down in bureaucracy? Well, mystery subscriber, that's a very good question. See, I have worked under both a pastorate committee as well, and it was the worst experience I have ever had, mostly because by that time I had already had 20 years of youth ministry under my belt, and I knew how to get things done without a committee. You see, rogue agents like myself have managed to avoid churches with committees, but for the viewer who asked this question, and all of you that are suffering from ministry paralysis, let me offer you 8 keys to managing this two-headed monster known as the pastor and committee, or the committee-aster. First of all, acknowledge the challenge. You are where you are. Your pastor's here. Your committee's here. You're in the middle. Take a deep breath. And then start to have a little empathy for both your pastor and the committee. So what are you talking about, Paul? I'm the one that needs the empathy. I understand. But if you start to consider the responsibilities your pastor has and the responsibility the committee has been endowed with, maybe you can start to feel a little something other than these people are out to get me. And nothing good comes out of paranoia. So empathy is the solution to feeling like these two forces are colliding in on you. So acknowledge the situation and then have some empathy for both groups. Number 2, focus on shared goals. Think of it like a Venn diagram. Draw some circles on a paper and put all the goals that your pastor has for the youth ministry. Then put all the goals that the committee has for the youth ministry. And then put all your goals in the middle that you have for the youth ministry. Is there any overlap? It could be that the committee's goals and the pastor's goals don't align. And they might not even know that they don't align. But as you're beginning to process this, and you have to listen to both sides to know what their goals are, because the more data you have, then the more you can show that there are conflicting goals. Number 3, open communication. You initiate the conversations. Don't wait for them to come to you. You're the one seeking their advice. You're the one seeking after their knowledge. You're the one seeking after their opinions. And that way they don't have to bring their opinions to you. But all the while you're taking these notes and putting them on the Venn diagram so that after a time you can get a clear picture of what both sides want and are they in agreement. So schedule coffee once a month or once a quarter with your pastor, and once a month, once a quarter with somebody from your committee, and have good conversation with them. It doesn't even have to be about youth ministry, but you're going to have some time with them because you want to get to know them. And in this way, they get to know you. Number four, clarity on roles and responsibilities. I think that as you have coffee with each side, you're going to find out who you really report to or who they think you really report to. And it gives you an opportunity to ask questions. See, that's a key, is asking questions. Say, put yourself in my position. If you felt like you had two bosses or two responsibilities, how would you do this? So instead of struggling to kind of get your way, get each of these groups to see it from your perspective. And if they can do that, well, then maybe that solves your problem because they know that you're struggling with it. And the emphasis is not on how to make your job easier. It's about how to make the youth ministry more effective, how to reach more kids for Jesus, how to disciple them. That's the goal. So do your best to frame the question about roles and responsibilities in such a way that they can see things from your side and they are able to give their input. And in doing this, you might find out that each side hasn't put themselves in your shoes and will work a little bit harder to do so. Number four, vision alignment. You have a vision for the youth ministry. You want to see things move forward. The question is it in line with the church's vision? And is the committee in line with the church's vision? Are they in line with the pastor's vision? You have to get buy-in from both parties so that they understand the things you're wanting to do are in alignment with what they want to do. You have to show them that, listen, I'm trying to keep on mission with what the church is trying to do. And you have to help both parties see that in clarifying roles and responsibilities and all the things we talked about, they're actually pushing the mission forward. And part of getting that buy-in is getting both sides to believe that it's their idea to push the ministry forward. Number five, collaboration. You have to frame the youth committee as a supportive body. Once again, it goes back to not thinking that, you know, everybody's out to get you, which is easy to do, by the way. I'm not blaming. I'm just saying it's easy to feel like these people don't want me to do my job. Not only do they not want me to do my job, they want me to do my job badly. So you have to take the approach of collaboration, not just ownership, like let me do what I want, but more so, hey, look, I need your feedback. I want you to help me implement the vision of the church, which we've already defined. So how can I do that best to both satisfy the committee and the pastor, so that the real benefactor of all our discussions is the youth ministry. Number seven, focus on the outcomes. Update both groups on the ministry's progress. So like I said, don't wait for them to come to you to ask questions. Always bring the data to them. Use testimonies, use pictures, use all the things you have, all the tools that are in your toolbox to make a report or to show them visually what is happening in the youth ministry. If you're not already updating your pastor once a week about the numbers or issues or those type of things, start sending an email. Also to the committee, just show them what is being done and how it aligns with the vision of the church. Number eight, remember, it's about balance, right? It's a balancing act. You're trying to keep these two parties happy, but you're also trying to accomplish what God's put in your heart. So finding the right balance between autonomy and accountability takes time and takes patience. But be persistent in building trust and open communication. You be the instigator of these conversations. Don't let them come to you. You go to them. And once you've practiced all these for 6 months or so and you feel like you're not getting anywhere, well, maybe it's time to have a come to Jesus moment where you have the pastor and the committee and yourself together in a room and you have to hash it out like grown-up people. But always keep the focus on the youth. How does this impact the youth? How does this help the youth? How does this hurt the youth? How does this keep from the vision moving forward of seeing kids come to Christ and students being discipled? Put those real world things into the conversation so everybody understands the stakes. Not just you don't get to do what you want to do, but all these decisions are impacting the forward progress of the gospel and of the ministry.
And that's it. Those are my thoughts. Now, something that I didn't say that I'm very fond of saying is anything with two heads is a freak. I mean, really, think about it. You look at any, if you saw a two-headed monkey coming at you, you'd say, yeah, that's not right. That doesn't look good. That's scaring me. And anything with two bosses is also scary, because who are you going to please? Who's in charge here? What it causes nothing but confusion and anxiety. So youth pastors, I feel for you. You're the Godzilla trying to fight off these multi-headed monsters. And I do, I feel for you. If you're a pastor, listen to me. Please make things clear. Who does your youth pastor answer to? Do they answer to you? Do they answer to the committee? Whoever it is, make it clear to them so youth pastors can do their job, the thing that you hired them to do. And they will do it, and they will do it well. Also, I don't just take questions on YouTube. I take questions right here on the podcast. So if you have a question you'd like me to answer right here on the podcast, you can send it to thediscipleproject@gmail.com. There'll be a link down in the show notes. And I would be happy to answer your question. And if you're not a subscriber yet, well, go ahead and click the subscribe button, the follow button, or whatever they give you there on the platform that you listen to this podcast on. And if you've been listening to the show for a while and you've not left a rating yet, well, why not go ahead and leave 5 stars and some nice comments? And if you do that, that'll help this podcast get found by youth pastors just like yourself. And don't forget, everyone, if nobody has told you lately that you're doing a good job, let me tell you, you're doing a good job and you're only going to get better. And I'll see you all in the next episode.